الحمد لله، الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوته ابتداع ولا لأغليته انقضاء، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. والجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين، وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: ولو أنهم أقاموا التوراة والإنجيل وما أنزل إليهم من ربهم لأكلوا من فوقهم ومن تحت أرجلهم، وقال الإمام الصادق عليه الصلاة والسلام: إن بني أمية أطلقوا الناس تعليم الإيمان ولم يطلقوا تعليم الشرك، لكي إذا حملوهم عليه لم يعرفوه. صلوات. This weekend and starting from today, which is the fourth, we are commemorating the death anniversary of our late leader and the deputy of Imam Mahdi alayhi salatu wassalam, Samahat Sayyid al-Imam al-Khomeini Ridwanullahi alayhi, who passed away in 1989. And he had a personality and attributes and policies in his life which certainly make him one of the most unique personalities in our Islamic history. You find a great number of scholars and a significant number of mujtahideen and another precious few who are the maraji', and all of those great personalities, may Allah protect all of them, have performed great services for Islam. But you rarely find a personality who has not just combined the ma'kulat, the intelligible sciences of Islam, and the mashhudat, the sciences which are related to the inner vision of the soul, but actually a step further, has taken the mashhudat, the sciences related to the vision of our soul, to a further next level, which forces the later generations to think, to rethink about the sort of Islam, the kind of practice they have, or the teachings of Islam. And this behavior and this policy, treading this path with itminan and yaqeen and certitude and the inner satisfaction, is basically the practical implication of the teachings that we learned from the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, which were long part of the bookish information. You don't find these teachings getting implemented, because you don't find that often people who are taking a stand in this society to implement the law of Quran and to stand for justice for the entire world and to support all the oppressors regardless of their faith in the whole world. And this vision of the late Imam is because of his irfan and because of his ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he was not an arif, if he did not have the ma'rifat of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, if he did not have this ma'rifat in his soul, he would have never been able to do that. And all those people who didn't do that in the past, didn't do that precisely because they lacked that level, that high level of ma'rifat. So praising the athar and signs of his and works and services that he did is good, but that is not going to serve the purpose. If you just praise what he did, you know, he did a lot of great services which are unique. You never find an Islamic establishment taking place in the last 1200 plus years since the government of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam, which just lasted for a few months, 7 or 8 months approximately in the history. You don't find any other Islamic government, which was considered to be impossible by a lot of people up there by, and some people up till the final days of his return from Paris on 1st of February 1979. So we will again have to focus that the services that the world has witnessed are because of his inner spiritual ma'naviyat and irfan and ma'rifat of the Imam his time. And the more a person has the high level of ma'rifat, the bigger services he would perform for the sake of Islam and Islamic Ummah, and the less ma'rifat a person enjoys, he would be able to perform lesser services for the Quran and Ahlul Bayt in his religion. Because the highest services performed were by the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, who are the only ones having the highest level of ma'rifat of Allah, which is uncomparable to any human. So the services they have performed is because of their ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the reasons is because of their ma'rifat. The second point to think, as we are talking about the azamat and greatness of this unique personality among the non-ma'sumeen alayhi salam, the second thing to to pay attention is about, is regarding his pure understanding of the principles and teachings and values of the Holy Quran and Ahlul Bayt. The correct and pure understanding of Islam. How he himself used to say that our Islam is the pure Muhammadan Islam. Islam e Nabe Muhammadi in Farsi. Al Islam al Muhammadiyul Asil. How we say in Arabic. In Urdu we say Khalis Muhammadi Islam. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We have to use the adjective of pure, although it was not needed otherwise. But we have to use the adjective and sifat of pure because of the fact that some have made the Islam impure. Because of those some, we are forced to use the adjective pure, quote unquote, pure Islam of the Holy Prophet. Because there were and there are some who used to misuse the statement issued by Hazrat Abdul Muttalib salamullahi alayhi in the history when Abraha came with his army of elephants and Hazrat Abdul Muttalib went there to have a conversation with him and demanded his camels to be returned back. And Abraha, who was the commander of that army, replied to Hazrat Abdul Muttalib salamullahi alayhi, that, well, I thought you are the, because you are the head of the tribe, I thought you would come and ask me not to attack the Holy Kaaba instead of asking me your own camels back. And that's where Hazrat Abdul Muttalib sallallahu alayhi said that in ana rabbul ibil fa inna lil bayt rabban, I am the caretaker of the camels. That means I am the caretaker of my camels. In other words, my camels belong to me. It's my job to take care of them. Whereas for the house there is a lord. That means there is a lord who is going to take care of his own house. And this statement of Hazrat Abdul Muttalib, which was issued before the arrival of Quran and before the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, has been constantly abused and misused by some scholars and some ordinary people in the history and even today to justify their policy, which is clearly against Quran. Because the Holy Quran, when Hazrat Abdul Muttalib said that, Quran was not revealed and Prophet was not born. And these scholars forget this fact. Whereas now that we are living, the Holy Prophet has already arrived and the Quran has already been revealed upon the Holy Prophet, where the Holy Quran in Suratul Anfal, verse number 34, has already said, in awliya'uhu illa al-muttaqoon. And in the light of this verse of Holy Quran, we clearly understand that the walayat and tawliyat of Kaaba, the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the pious people mutawalli and caretaker of the Holy Kaaba. So every person who is the highest level of muttaqi and pious in his time is supposed to do the job of taking care of the Holy Kaaba. So no one has a right to say any longer, it is a Lord and who is going to take care of that after the arrival of Holy Quran. That's what some have been and are still saying. It's not our job. This religion has a caretaker, which is Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Let him handle his job and he's going to come tomorrow. He'll implement justice and he'll take care of the oppressors. Let's lead a life of Islam of convenience. Don't talk about Yazidis of today. It's okay to just do the curse on Yazid of yesterday. And let's keep on following the Islam of convenience. because that suits our lifestyle. Constantly misused phenomena against the value of Quran. This is one of those examples why we were forced to use the word pure Islam. I'm trying to explain to you why the adjective is added before Islam. So, my teacher Ayatollah Jawadi Amiri Hafizahullah, and I'm quoting here his exact words in Farsi, he said, "Ba amadane aye yek mutafakkir dini majaz nist ke beguyad man sahibe shatar va bayad dar mal khud talash kunam va sahibe khane khane ra hifz kunad." It's a quote unquote, the exact words of my teacher, where he was saying that after the arrival of the ayat, no intellectual religious person is allowed to say that I am the owner of my camel and I am supposed to take care of my money only, my wealth only, and the house of God has an owner and he's going to protect his house himself. No one has this right to say. And I'm quote unquote, I mentioned to you the exact words of my teacher. In addition to this verse of Holy Quran, this policy of some people is entirely against the hadith and statement of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam as well in Nahj al-Balagha, where he has said, Lawla, that's khutbah number 3, the most famous khutbah of the entire Nahj al-Balagha is khutbah sermon number 3. That is the most famous khutbah and sermon of Imam Ali. Maybe one of the reasons why it's more famous, because it is political. It is obviously political. So we call it al-khutbah al-shiqshiqiyya. Shiqshiqa in Arabic is the saliva. You call it to the saliva of a camel. When the camel is angry, you find the saliva falls down from his mouth in anger. That is called shiqshiqa, shiqshiqatun in Arabic. This khutbah is called al-khutbah al-shiqshiqiyya, because Imam Ali alayhi salam was interrupted when he was giving this sermon. And in the middle of some people are silly. They don't know the adab and etiquette, you know. A person is delivering a sermon, don't interrupt them. Some people don't have sense. And one guy showed up and he interrupted Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam in the middle, handed over a paper, a piece of whatever written thing, maktub, and interrupted the Imam during the sermon. And after that, Imam did not continue with the sermon. And Abdullah ibn Abbas said, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, why don't you continue what you were saying? We love to listen from you." And Imam said, "Tilka shiqshiqatun hadarat thumma qarrat." That was a shiqshiqa. Hadarat, that means it flew out and then stopped, in other words. So, it's very, very silly for the ignorant people to interrupt. That's what, you know, say it is said in the adab of ta'aleem and ta'allum by our great scholars. Don't interrupt scholars. Don't interrupt them. If you interrupt them, you're going to get some of the knowledge. Not all of what they were trying to say. And this is your loss, not theirs. Because they have it, you don't. You got to understand the point. So Imam Ali alayhi salam, in this the most famous sermon of Nahj al-Balagha, sermon number 3, al-Shiqshiqiyya, has said, "Lawla, what I was saying is the policy of some people is against Nahj al-Balagha, because Imam Ali alayhi salam has said in the third sermon, Lawla hudur al-hadir wa qiyam al-hujjah bi-wujud al-nasir wa ma akhadha Allahu 'ala al-ulama an la yuqaru 'ala kithrat al-zalim wa la saghab al-mazlum la alqaytu habdaha على غاربها ولا سقيت آخرها بكأس أولها." If it wasn't, in other words, if it wasn't all those people, you know, gathered around Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam in his house to do the bay'at on the fourth place after his right of walayat had been usurped, so if all those people who gathered And the hujjat of Allah became completed and fulfilled, because now he has the supporters, so he has to install the government of justice and install the Islamic government. If all this situation did not happen, and in addition, Imam Ali al-Islam says that وَمَا أَخَذَ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْعُلَمَاءِ, and the fact that Allah has took this covenant, in other words, this mithaq and covenant from ulama and scholars, not to stay idle, أَلَّا يُقَارُّ, not to stay idle, عَلَى كِذَّةِ الظَّالِمِينَ, on the filling of the stomach of a zalim, وَلَا سَغَبِ مَظْلُومِ, and the hunger of an oppressed. This is the covenant that Allah has taken from the scholars, not to stay idle over the filling up of the stomach of an oppressor and the empty stomach of an oppressed. Because this covenant has been taken by Allah from the ulama, so they cannot stay idle. If this was not the case, I would also have left the reins over the reins of Khilafat over the back of that animal, the animal of Khilafat. I would have left the reins on, let it remain over the back of the animal. You know, when you put the reins and zimam over the back of the animal roams around and goes away, because you nobody's controlling him. Isn't that right? Let whatever, you know, happens. Who cares? I would have also done that the same. But since there is a covenant taken from the ulama, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Imam Ali cannot do that. The scholars cannot stay silent and idle. So this policy of some people is against Nahjul Balagha as well. Not just against Quran, but also against the Nahjul Balagha. So we have to add the word pure in front of Islam, an adjective. لَأَلْقَيْتُ حَبْدَهَا عَلَىٰ غَارِبِهَا and وَلَسَقَيْتُ آخِرَهَا لِكَأْسِ أَوَّلِهَا, and I would have watered the end of this Khilafat with the beginning of it. وَلَأَلْقَيْتُمْ دُنْيَاكُمْ هَذِهِ أَزْهَدْ عِنْدِي مِنْ أَفْتَتِ عَنْزِ, and you guys would have known, in other words, that this Khilafat of yours, this government of yours, is less of a value in my eyes than the sneezing of a goat. What's the price tag in the marketplace of the world for the sneeze of a goat? Is there any human who can put a price? That's a valueless thing. Nobody cares about a goat sneezing. That is, this world, the government, the charge of affairs is lesser of a value in the eyes of Imam Ali al-Islam than the sneeze of a goat. But still he goes for it so that he can install justice. Just like the incident when Imam Ali al-Islam was coming back, was there in the, you know, it was at the occasion of Siffin. Imam Ali al-Islam was stitching his na'alain, his slipper. And he asked Abdullah ibn Abbas, مَا قِيمَةُ هَذَا النَّعَلِ, what's the price of this slipper? Imam Ali's slipper had several patches. Old slipper with several patches. And Imam Ali asked Abdullah ibn Abbas, مَا قِيمَةُ هَذَا النَّعَلِ, what's the price of this slipper? And Abdullah ibn Abbas said, لَا قِيمَةُ لَهَا أَصْلًا, it has no price. Who cares? Who's going to buy this? And Imam Ali al-Islam said that this, you know, the government, hukumat, power, authority, some people are greedy about the government. Isn't that right? Now that's not there in the hadiths I'm explaining to you. And he said, government is lesser in the eyes of Amir Mumineen Islam than this slipper. Illa an uqima haqqan aw adfa'a batilan. Except that if I want to install haqq through the government and defer and deter the batil and falsehood through the government. So he wants the government. So that's the reason he's fighting against Muawiyah, who is the rebel, who did not accept the government of Imam Ali al-Islam. Isn't that right? Although the same government is lesser in his eyes than this stitched and patched slipper, which has zero value in the market. Government is lesser in his eyes. But the government is very important in his eyes when it comes for installing the haqq. So he doesn't want government for the sake of greed, like the world worshippers do. He wants the government for the sake of installing the haq. That's exactly what the phenomenon of Islam is. Because there are some people, when you talk about government, they say, Imam Ali Islam had talked about government in these words. Who cares about the government? We have nothing to do with the government. Islam and religion, Islam and government, and Islam and politics has nothing to do with Islam. Again, misinterpreting the hadith of Imam Ali Islam and not seeing that the same Imam Ali Islam has said in the same hadith, إِلَّا أَنْ أُقِيمَ حَقًّا أَوْ أَدْفَعَ بَاطِلًا, except that if I want to install haq and deter the batil. So for the sake of installing haq and deterring batil, he needs the government. You cannot sit here and keep on sending faxes to United Nations, please set free the Masjid al-Aqsa for us. Is that the way some people expect Imam Mahdi al-Islam to do when he arrives in Kaaba? To send faxes to Security Council? To establish, government of Adl? Are we that silly? At least some people are that silly, or maybe worse, because the policies they are treading in their life, day in and day out, actions speak louder than their words, that they believe in this kind of thing, or even worse. That's their policy. And in another hadith, in Hikmat number of the wisdom, the word of wisdom number 228 in Nahdul Balagha, Imam Ali Salam has also said, وَاللَّهِ لَدُنْيَاكُمْ هَذِهِ أَهْوَنْ عِنْدِي مِنْ عِرَاقِ خِنْزِيرٍ بِيَدِ مَجْزُومٍ. I swear to God that this dunya, this world of yours is more, lesser important in my eyes than the bone of a pig in the hand of a leper. Nobody even cares to, people don't even care to look at a leper who has jazam and the illness of jazam, a leper who is suffering from leprosy. And what if the same leper person has the bone of a pig in his hand? Who's going to pay attention to him? This dunya of yours is lesser of a value in Imam Ali's eyes than bone of a pig in the hand of a leper. Nobody even cares to look at it. But he still cares for establishing government. Because it's not for his personal greed, it's for the sake of ihqaqul haq. So that's the reason why we need to add the adjective of quote-unquote pure Islam. That's what I was explaining to you. In Ilm al-Irfan, our scholars of Irfan have mentioned there are four troubles of the soul, which we call al-asfar al-arba'ah, and that's exactly the name of the book of Mullah Sadra, rahmatullahi alayh, Sadr al-Muta'allihin, which is considered to be the last book of philosophy in the syllabus of the Hawza. If you want to study the philosophy, it's in 9 volumes, Al-Asfar al-Arba'ah, 4 Travels of the Soul. That's the name of the book of philosophy of Mullah Sadra as well. So in Ilm al-Irfan, we have 4 Travels of the Soul, and which I don't want to go into details, but I will just mention to you and move forward. As-sayru min al-khalq ila al-haq, the travel from the people, from the creatures towards haq, that means Allah. Was-sayru fil haq bil haq, and the travel in haq through the haq, which is about the asma and sifat, the names and attributes of Allah. And as-sayru min al-haq ila al-khalq bil haq, traveling through haq, from haq towards the creatures. And the fourth one, which is the hardest and the rarest number of humans ever have traveled, that last travel of the soul, which is as-sayru fil khalqi bil haq. That means traveling in the creatures with the vision of wahdat and tawheed of Allah, which is the hardest, rarest found travel in the human history. So, having said these 4 travels of the soul in Ilm al-Irfan, the beauty of Imam Khomeini, Ridwanullah alayhi's personality, which deserves to be praised is because of his fourth travel. Not just because of his fourth travel, but fourth travel in such a beautiful, articulate way. Lots of intellectual people, so-called intellectual peoples, lots of them are people-focused. And their policies are people-focused. Whereas an Islamically intellectual person is the one who is haq-focused in his policy, not people-focused. And there's a world of differences between these two statements. Being haq-focused in your life and being people-focused in your life. This subject requires specific time to just discuss that, but I have written so many points which I would like to move forward and at least say certain things and not get stuck in this point only. Some of the urafa in our Islamic history were such that in the travel, in the spiritual travel towards the taqarrub and closeness to Allah, they got stopped and broken away from the khalq and the creatures. And that's the reason they don't get involved in the community matters and in the social affairs and the political affairs of Islamic Ummah, because they got cut off and broken away from the khalq. This is what happens to some. Whereas in the personality of Imam Ridwanullahi Alayh, we find that this aspect was, this fourth travel of the soul was found in it such a beautiful fashion, and that's what in Ilm al-Irfan they say, that there are two opinions, what we call maslakul aql and maslakul ishq. The maslakul aql, the path of aql and intellect in ilmul irfan, and the path of ishq means deep love in ilmul irfan. These are two different policies in ilmul irfan. So we find that some of those people who belong to the maslakul aql, the path of aql, say that why should a person go back to the ummah and to the community and to the society? Because you have, when you are treading the path of taqarrub towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you already, when you found the closeness towards Allah, you don't need to go back to the people. This is the maslak of aql. Whereas the maslak of ishq and deep love towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ilmul irfan says that even though you have become muqarrab and close towards Allah, you have to go back to the society and the people to serve them, because that's where the closest taqarrub of Allah is achieved. Look at the difference between two ways of thinking. So they say, the earlier maslak of aql say, you have already found the taqarrub of Allah, you don't need to go back to the community and the people to serve them. Whereas the second maslak says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself loves to serve the community and the people, so that's why for the sake of the qurb of the highest level, we need to go back to the people. And because Imam Ridwanullah Alayh belonged to the maslak of ishq in ilmul irfan, not the maslak of aql in ilmul irfan, That's the reason why we find that he had his traces found in every aspect of the social life. You name every aspect of the social life, you find his traces available, where he has penetrated, exercised his policies, executed his commands, and guided the community in Islamic Ummah in each one of those aspects. Not just he's holding the West accountable for what they are doing and what they have done in the past in the name of freedom and democracy and collateral damage and human rights and freedom of speech and women's rights, but in addition he also invites the mulhid and mushrik east towards Islam. So whether it's east or it's west, you find the traces of his policies available. He used to love the dua, the munajat of Sha'baniyya. When he was asked which are the duas that you love most, he replied that it's dua Kumail and munajat of Sha'baniyya. He used to love these two duas. And about dua Kumail, he had mentioned the reason why he loves this dua is because Imam Ali alayhi salam never even talks about Jannat in the entire dua Kumail. He doesn't care about Jannat. All he cares about is the rida and pleasure of Allah. Look at the perspective of an arif. The reason why he loves dua Kumail, you don't find no mention of Jannat in that dua. That's the reason he loves it. Who can have that perspective? And look at the Munajat Sha'baniyya, which is also practiced by Imam Ridwan Allah in his practical life. Where in the Munajat Sha'baniyya, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ilahi, habli kamala lilqita'i ilayk. Oh my Lord, give me kamal al-inqita', the perfect breaking away towards you. Breaking away in Islam means that you have zero attachment with matter and its material temporary belongings. Instead, your qalb is entirely attached with Allah and none of the material attachments and loves of this dunya, love of fame, Hubbul shuhra, Hubbul jah, love of positions, love of Hubbul naum, love of sleeping, Hubbul shahawat, love of lusts, and Hubbul mal, the love of wealth, and so forth. All the different types of hub and loves that we acquire in our material, in our life, in this world of matter. So kamal al-inqita' is found in the soul of a person who has no attachment with matter and its material belongings. Ilahi habli kamal al-inqita' ilayk wa anir absara qulubina bi dhiya'i nazariha ilayk, and enlighten the vision of our souls, enlighten the visions of our souls, because of a flash of you looking at us. If Allah has one nazar of lutf towards our qalb and soul, our whole destiny would change. Look at the beauty of this dua. So you need to have kamal and al-qita', When Shaheed Mutahhari rahmatullah alayh went to his teacher Allama Tabatabai, who wrote Tafsir al-Mizan, and asked him, what dua shall I read in the Qunut? That's the dua which Allama Tabatabai rahmatullah alayh told his student Shaheed Mutahhari rahmatullah alayh to read this dua of Munajat Ka'baniyya. Ilahi habli kamal al-qita'i ilayk wa anir absar qulubina bi dhiya' nazariha ilayk hatta takhriqa absar al-qulub hujab an-nur, so that the visions of the souls rip apart, takhriqa absar al-qulub hujab an-nur, the visions of the soul rip apart the curtains of noor. We have lots of hijabat of madda, the world of matter, and several hijabat of alam al-noor, noorani hijab, hujab al-noor, noorani curtains, which are blocking our vision to see the haqiqat. How can you rip apart the curtains of noor? You can rip apart because of that nazar and Allah looking at your qalb. حَتَّى تَخْرِتْ أَبْصَارُ الْقُلُوبِ حُجْبُونُ فَتَّصِلَ إِلَىٰ مَعْدِنِ الْعَظَمَ. So, it reaches the mineral of greatness, وَتَصِيرَ أَرْوَاحُنَا, and our souls become, وَتَصِيرَ أَرْوَاحُنَا مُعَلَّقَةً بِعِزِّ قُدْسِكَ, so our souls become hanging with the dignity of your holiness. So these are the great words, this is the great theme of the Munajat of Sha'baniyya, which is all full of ma'rifat and irfan. And it requires a lot of level of ma'rifat to even understand the contents of this dua. So because of this kamal al-inqita', if somebody has no attachments with the world of matter, that type of person can serve the community, can serve the society, and is eligible to lead the society. Because if you are not attached to any material belongings and perks and rewards and benefits from people, and you don't care about the lusts of this world, that's where you are above and beyond every greed of this world of matter. And that's where you are only caring for the pleasure of Allah, so you are the one who deserves to serve. And you are the one who will serve the mahrumeen, the deprived, and the mazlumeen, the oppressed, and the mustada'afeen, the weakened masses in this world. And that's where that will empower you to say how Imam Hussain alayhi salam has said, لَوْ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِي فِي الدُّنْيَا مَلْجَأٌ وَلَا مَأْوَىٰ لَمَا بَايَعْتُ يَزِيدَ بْنَ مُعَاوِيَةً. Because he had the kamal al-qita'. If there is no place for me in this world, no place of refuge for me in this world, I will still not do the oath of allegiance towards Yazid, the son of Muawiyah. So it's not because, you know, he's searching for a place of refuge. No. Imam Hussain is searching, Imam Hussain loves to have the rida and pleasure of Allah secured. Not that he wants to save his life. Unlike some people who are ready to compromise for protecting their dunya, so Imam Hussain in Islam is not one of those, because he already said, even if there is nothing remaining in the world for him, nowhere to seek refuge, his policy will still continue in the same power and force, in other words, against Yazid. And, you know, we find that Imam Ridwanullahi alayh, following the footsteps of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, has executed the same policy in his life. And that's what he said when he was exiled and sent from one country to another, from one airport to another. He said, and I have mentioned his statement, that agar az furudgah be furudgah digar ravanam kunid was badar ruy zameen jay na dashte basham hawan harf e sayyid shoda ijra. If you transfer me, keep on transferring me from one airport to another, I will still continue to execute the policy of Sayyid al-Shuhada in my life. That's what makes him great. But not everybody, not every island and every moment is like that. And that's what gives him Nuraniyat and Haybat and Ra'ub, that people used to shiver in front of him because of his jihad. Jihad al-Nafs and jihad against the enemies of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Another point to note in his personality is what is related to the ayat of Quran which I recited in the beginning of my speech, and that ayat is from Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 66. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ أَقَامُوا التَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلَ وَمَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ لَأَكَلُوا مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ وَمِنْ تَحْتَ أَرْجُلِهِمْ. If they had, this ayat is about the Ahlul Kitab, people of the book. If they had, in other words, if they had acted according to the Torah, and Injil, the real Bible, the Evangel, and what was revealed towards them from their Lord, وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ لَأَكَلُوا مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ, they would have been eating from their top, وَمِنْ تَحْتِ أَرْجُلِهِمْ, and under their feet. Now, the Zahir, we have the Zahir of Quran and the Batin and the hidden secrets up till 7th. Just like for the Hadith, we have the Zahir and the Batin, the apparent face and apparent meaning and the hidden secrets of the Hadith. So the Zahir of this ayat is what has been mentioned by our scholars. In other words, that this ayat of Holy Quran proves that if the followers of Torah and Injil had practiced their own Sharia when it was okay for them to practice at that time, right now it's not okay. Even if let's suppose you can find the real Torah, the Evangel, which you can't find today, it is not okay for anybody to follow that, because Quran is nasikh, it invalidates the previous books, which now become mansukh, invalidated. So the people of the book, if they had followed their own books at the time when it was okay for them to follow, they would have been receiving the risk from Allah from the top and the bottom. This is about the zahir of the ayat. Now every ayat has a zahir and a batin. The batin, you have to turn to the urafa to learn about the batin. So we find the Ahlul Ma'rifah have mentioned that if the followers of any Sharia practice that Sharia at the time when it is their duty to practice that Sharia, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide them the tariqat and the haqiqat book. That's the batin, what we learn in the light of this ayah. So the conversation arrived at the tariqat and haqiqat. So this Sharia that we are following is the zahir. The ahkam that we have of the furu'uddin, these ahkam are called sharia. This is the zahir, the apparent face of the rulings. And every apparent face has a hidden reality, which we call the batin. So the batin of the shariat is what we call the tariqah. So, coming back to the personality of Imam Ridwanullahi alayh, he used to consider that the entire sharia is custom built and created and sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lead us towards the tariqah, the batin of these ahkam and rulings. And sharia and tariqah combined together are custom created to take us towards the haqiqah. That's the sequence. If somebody wants to discover what is haqiqat, that's the sequence. Just like Kumail ibn Ziyad, who narrated this dua Kumail from Imam Ali alayhi salam, once found Imam Ali alayhi salam in the loneliness and khalwat in Kufa. And he, Kumail ibn Ziyad, asked Imam Ali alayhi salam, Ya Amir al-Mumineen, mal haqiqa? What's the reality? And Imam Ali alayhi salam said to Kumail, Malaka wal haqiqa? What have you to do with the reality? So Kumail didn't know the reality. Kumail didn't know the reality, I mean. So, not everybody knows the reality. So in order for a human to reach the haqiqat and reality, he has to combine the sharia and the tariqat. How can you combine the sharia and the tariqat? By completely practicing the sharia. Only those of the people who completely practice the zahir of the rulings, the apparent face of the rulings, which we call sharia, in its totality, will be empowered to reach the batin of the sharia, which we call tariqah. And that's the reason he used to object on those of the people in the Sufism, those who claim that we are ahle tariqah. We are the ones who follow tariqah. And he used to object on those people, that how can this claim be accepted from you when you are not Ahl al-Sharia and you don't follow the Sharia? Because it's impossible to imagine for a person who doesn't follow the Sharia to become Ahl al-Tariqat. It doesn't happen that way. So basically, Tariqat is what in Ilm al-Irfan they call it Ilm al-Arjul. The knowledge that you have to reach, achieve through walking, through practicing. Ilmul Arjul. Arjul in Arabic means feet. The knowledge of feet. The knowledge which is achieved through your feet. That means you've got to practice. You've got to walk the way. You have to go through it. Practice it. Implement it. We call it the knowledge of the feet. Tariqat is called Ilmul Arjul. Whereas Haqiqat is actually the knowledge in the real sense. And that's what comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the real knowledge. And that is what is learned from the word in the ayat, La akalu min fawqihim. They would have eaten from their top. That's where they learn the haqiqat from. That's where they talk about the haqiqat in the light of that segment of the verse. And this is related to the hadith. Where somebody came and asked Imam Sadiq alayhi salam about this verse of Holy Quran where Allah has said in Surah Abasa wa Tawalla, verse number 24, فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ تَعَامِهِ. The human must look towards his food. When somebody asked this statement from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said in the tafsir of this ayat that a person must look towards his knowledge. So knowledge is considered as ta'am, as the food. That's the food of the soul actually. That's the real food of the soul. Rizq-e ma'navi. The metaphysical sustenance which our souls require. And the mu'allim and teacher of this metaphysical rizq and sustenance are Ahlul Bayt. They are the ones who provide us, the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt are the ones who provide us the metaphysical knowledge of the soul. And that's what you learn in the light of another hadith, which we find when somebody came, and that's narrated from Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam, that when somebody came and asked asked Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam, why do they call Lima Summiya Amirul Mu'mineen Amiral Mu'mineen? Why is Amirul Mu'mineen called Amirul Mu'mineen? And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, Imam Qadim alayhi salam replied that لِأَنَّهُ يُمِيرُهُمْ الْعِلْمِ. That means he is the one who provides them the meerah. Meerah in Arabic means the food. Because he provides them, the mu'mineen. He provides the mu'mineen with the food. That's why he's called Amirul Mu'mineen. لِأَنَّهُ يُمِيرُهُمْ الْعِلْمِ Amir Mumin Islam is Amir. He has the Imarat. Imarat in Arabic means government, the rule. Because he commands, the ruler commands. So he's the Amir, the one who commands. He's the commander of the faithful. Being the commander of the faithful, this is the zahir of the word. Even the names have a zahir and a batin. The laqab and the name. You open up the book of Sheikh Saduq, Ma'an al-Akhbar, and he has a whole discussion in Ma'an al-Akhbar about the Asma'un Nabi, the names of the Prophet. The deeper meanings of the names of the Prophet. So even the names have a zahir and a batin. The zahir of the meaning, the apparent face of the meaning of the word Amir al-Mu'mineen is what me and you and every other person who knows a little bit of Arabic can understand. That Amir al-Mu'mineen means the commander of the faithful. It's not a big deal. There's a zahir. You open up the dictionary, you go to Google, you find in dictionary.com and you can see all those, you know, the word Amir, it means the commander. It's not a rocket science to discover that. But there's the zahir which even a kafir can discover. But the batin of a name can never be discovered unless you turn to the muallim of the rizq-i ma'navi, which are the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So here Imam Al-Kazim alayhi salam is talking about the batin of the meaning of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. لِأَنَّهُ يُمِيرُهُمْ الْعِلْمِ In Arabic, the meerah. Meerah means the ta'af, food. Because he is the one, he provides them, that means he provides the mu'mineen with the food. That is the knowledge. Likewise, all the prophets of God used to consider their nubuwwat as a risk from Allah. Like all the awliya of Allah consider their walayat to be a risk of Allah. Like all the ulama consider their ilm to be a risk of Allah. So in Islam, the word risk and sustenance had a much broader meaning. Not what the awamun nas consider to be just the material food that we eat and consume day in and day out. That's the zahir. For every zahir there is a batin. So we find that when somebody came and asked Rasulullah Imam Sadiq alayhi salam why do they call Rasulullah to be Abul Qasim, we find that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said because he had a son named Qasim. So this is the kunyat of Rasulullah, Abul Qasim, the father of Qasim. In other words, because the Prophet, what he said was this, because Rasul had a son named Qasim. This guy said to him, to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, Zidni bayanan. Say something more to me. And this is not enough. This information is not enough for me. Give me some more information. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam then said to him that isn't that right that Ali alayhi salam is the Qasimun Nar wal Jannah? He's asking about Rasulullah, why Rasulullah is called Abul Qasim. Now look at the reply of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Isn't it right that Ali alayhi salam is the Qasimun Nar wal Jannah, the distributor of paradise and the hell? He's going to say to the hellfire, this is my enemy. And he's going to say to the heaven, this is my friend. Isn't it right that Ali ibn Abi Talib is the student of Rasulullah? Isn't it right that a teacher is considered to be at the place of the father? A teacher is considered to be at the status and place of the father? So now that he has combined these three muqaddimat, three points to remember as the muqaddimah. First of all, Imam Ali alayhi salam is the qasimun nar wal jannah, the distributor of the heaven and the hell. Second of all, he's going to say to the hell, this is my enemy. He's going to say to the heaven, this is my friend. Prophet has said to Imam Ali alayhi salam, already we know, anta qasimun nar wal jannah, you are the distributor of the heaven and the hell. And also, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said that, isn't that right that Ali alayhi salam is the student of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And isn't that right that the teacher is considered to be at the status of the father? A teacher is like the father, in other words, is on the level of the father. So when you combine all these three principles together, the Holy Prophet will become Abul Qasim. Because Prophet is the muallim and teacher of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, who is Abul Qasim, who is Qasimun Nar wal Jannah. This again is the batini explanation of the laqab of Abul Qasim, the kunyat of Abul Qasim of Rasulullah, which you are not going to find anywhere unless you turn to those who have the ma'rifat, Ahl Irfan. Can explain it to you, because the source of every ma'rifat is Rasulullah and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And then my teacher's teacher, you know, the teacher of Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafizahullah, his teacher Ayatullah Sheikh Muhammad Taqi Al-Amuli Rahmatullahi Alayh, said about this hadith that basically this person who was asking Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was less patient person. He didn't have that high patience. His zarfiyat, his eligibility to grasp was less. Remember, you get what you deserve in Islam, in Ilmul Irfan. What you don't deserve will never be given to you, unless you make yourself deserving first, and then you will find it arriving from Allah. So my teacher's teacher said that this guy had less patience, and his zarfiyat, his eligibility to grasp was lesser. If he had asked further from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he would have told other ma'ani, other meanings of that, and who he would have learned more. But the guy didn't ask. And the imams also used to tell according to what the people deserve. Isn't that right? Never more than that. So the summary of all that, what we are talking about the shari'at and the tariqat and haqiqat, the summary of the whole thing is that the bottom line, it's impossible to reach the batin and the hidden realities without completely practicing the zahir, the apparent rulings of the Sharia. Anybody who has yet to follow the entire rulings of the Sharia, because he still could not practice Islam completely and could not abstain from the sins completely in his life, would never have access to the batin and tariqat. Because the way that reaches, that takes us to the batin, goes through the entire sharia. You have to go through the entire sharia in order to reach towards the tariqat. That's the way it goes. I think I have prepared a much, much longer speech, but we don't have time to cover, so I'm just removing all these pages. And I'll just come to the end. Before I end my speech, it's very important to remember that anybody who creates differences between the Shia and Sunni in the today's needs of the time and requirements of the time is actually harming Islam. Intentionally or unintentionally, that's besides the point. But he's harming Islam. And he's going against the policy of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, which he started in those 25 years of his time when the walayat and khilafat was usurped. The policy of Ittihad bin al-Muslimin was started by Imam Ali alayhi salam, which was reinstated by Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah alayhi after the revolution. This is the policy of Imam Ali alayhi salam. We need to understand the seerat is siyasi, the political seerat of Ahlul Bayt is the least understood among the Isna Ashri community, unfortunately. The sign of Ittihad and the duty of a person who wants to do unity. And that I would mention these two points and end my speech here. The sign of Ittihad and unity, if a person claims that I am the follower of the policy of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, who had started the policy of unity. I follow Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Every haqiqat has an alamat and sign. You can never find a haqiqat without alamat. So the alamat and sign of this haqiqat, if it is a haqiqat and reality, that you are following the policy of Imam Ali alayhi salam, who started the policy of Ittihad bin al-Muslimin, if you are following the policy and footsteps of Imam Ali alayhi salam, then the alamat is that alamat of your Ittihad will be that you will never ever support any tahoot. If you find in your lifetime that a person is supporting tahoot, then you must understand he has nothing to do with the noor of Allah, because Ayatul Kursi has already made clear, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَوْلِيَاؤُهُمُ الطَّاهُوتُ يُخْرِجُونَهُم مِّنَ النُّورِ إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ. Those who did kufr, their awliya is tahoot. Their awliya are tahoot. And tahoot, what they do actually, in other words, they take the person out, yukhrijunahum minan noor, they take them out from noor, ila zulumat, towards the darknesses. Anyone, any Isna Ashari person or any Muslim who supports tahoot has zero noor in his qalb, if we believe in Quran and its authenticity. He has nothing to do with the noor of Quran and Ahlul Bayt and the noor of Allah. And that's the alamat whether you are following the policy of Imam Ali alayhi salam or not. That you will never support any tahoot in your life. And this is about the policy, the alamat and sign. And then the guarantee for your iman, that you are going to stick on the sirat al-mustaqim, the straight path in your life, is the walayat of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And in his ghaibat, we follow his deputy. As long as a person is following the walayat of faqih, as long as a person is sticking and obeying the concept of the walayat and faqih, you can never find any deviation in his policy. Because you are muttasil bil kur, you are connected to the source. As long as you are connected to the source, you can never get misguided. There is no guarantee for your guidance if you are not connected with the source. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to understand and practice the ma'arif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wa al-Muslimin waqtul al-Kuffar wa al-Munafiqeen. Allahumma ansur man nasar al-Din واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين قاسم الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Please recite one Surah Al-Fatiha and three times Surah Al-Ikhlas for the soul of Imam Khomeini رضوان الله عليه.